We serve the living Lord, amen. He is the one in control of all things, the universe, and has everything under control, so we have nothing to fear as we walk with Him. He is overcome, and we can overcome. It's a good day, isn't it? I have about a 4 or 5 hour sermon here. Nothing else going on today, is there? It's a good day. It's somebody's birthday today. You know, we're so far along that we've generally forgotten that today marks Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Today is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. And the 22nd will be the birthday of George Washington. We honor these two presidents. They are past, but they are considered to be great because they were great leaders. They achieved some great things for our nation. President Washington, of course, led the Continental Army before he was president to free the colonists from the tyranny that England was oppressing them with. And then he established the long, strong leadership for our nation in the presidencies. And then, of course, President Lincoln restored the unity to our nation. He brought freedom to the enslaved. There was great loss, great bloodshed through all of that, through those events. But they accomplished them. And for the benefit of all of us. Are we saved by those presidents? No. We are temporarily helped. In particular, this United States, we benefit from that. But most of the people in the world don't benefit from that. Thousands of people are injured or die in auto wrecks each year. And so we have all kinds of safety devices built into our cars nowadays. They've been created to protect us as passengers, including seat belts. How many of you wear your seat belt? I won't put you on the spot. Then there's the bumpers. There's all kinds of pads. There's airbags. And now they even have a button to push if you are in a particular situation where you might be injured by an airbag. You can turn your airbag off. Interesting. They're there to help us, and sometimes they cause more trouble than they're worth. So it's interesting. Are we saved by safety devices? Our health may exist longer. We may live longer, but eventually we all will die. Are we saved by taking more vitamins, eating the right foods, having medical exams, treatments, having financial security, getting a better education? Well, all those things are beneficial, but they don't prevent death. How are we saved? Well, little Billy was caught in mischief, and he was asked by his mother, "How do you expect to get to heaven?" And little Billy thought for a minute, and he said, "Well, I'll just have to run in and out of the door and slam it a lot, and they will ask me, for heaven's sake, either come in or stay out, and I'll just stay in." Is that how we try to get to heaven? Make enough commotion, maybe God will ask us, "Are you going to come up or stay?" No, that's not how we're saved. Many people make their appearances and participate in church services, and we're glad that everybody's here. Most of you don't dress like me. Aren't you glad? Some of us dress up. Some display great composure. Some give large sums of money to the church. And they even live as the average law-abiding citizen. Do these actions and efforts save us? And the answer is no. That's not what saves us. The first century church found themselves contending over what was necessary to save the lives of the people. Human opinions and man-made traditions must be guarded against when it comes to the salvation of souls. Saving souls was the mission of Jesus. From the meaning of his name to his mission in life, Jesus saves people. And we need to remember that. We must be sure to obey his directions to fulfill his plan in order to be saved, to go to his home where we want to live forever. Amen? So as we get into this, before we start, let's begin with a word of prayer and ask God for an opening up of our minds and clarity in his will. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for Jesus, who came to save and has accomplished his part and is pleading with us at your right hand, standing in the gap for us. Father, thank you for his coming, for the great price that he paid. Father, help us to remember that our salvation is in him and not in us accomplishing a bunch of tasks or performing certain things and ways. Help us to remember that Jesus is the source of our salvation. Help us to get the priorities straight, to serve you, to love you, to do good things because of that salvation, but to remember the source, the cause of our salvation. Be with us, guide us as we look at the section of Scripture here today. And help us have open minds to your will, to your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The text I've chosen is the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 15, 15 verses 1 through 11, we find these words. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. A powerful passage here. I've got a three-point message here for us. First of all, humanity needs to be saved from death. That is what the Scriptures are so concerned about. We need saved from death. All of us are headed to a grave unless we find some kind of salvation. Death has plagued all humanity since the disobedience of Adam and Eve. Where? In the Garden of Eden, from the beginning. This is what our Bible is all about. It begins with telling us how we got into this situation. Why is there death? You know, our bodies, getting off script here, our bodies are designed to restore themselves. God created us with bodies that restore themselves. So why in the world do we have disease and all these other things that cause us death? That is the question. Well, the Bible tells us it's because of this thing called disobedience to God, sin. God created people in His image with a desire to live on. God put the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, but after the sin of Adam and Eve, He separated people from it. He put the cherubs to guard them. After He pushed them out of the garden, they were not allowed in to be close to the tree of life. The result? Well, people expend great amounts of effort and resources to protect our health, our vitality, but in due time, it all fails. Even ancient man attempted other methods to overcome death. The pharaohs built their massive pyramids, and they have discovered the stockpiles of the food and the provisions in order for those people to go on to where? What they believed would be the next life. That's why they put all those things in those pyramids, but it only resulted in failure. All of the ancient cultures that hoped for life after death, their tombs still remain among us, their bones still remain among us, and all those provisions are where? Still in the tombs, unless they got robbed and carried off by some tomb robber. Rich citizens of our world seek ways to extend their lives. I don't know how many of you have bought into this program, but there are many rich people who are having their bodies frozen, hoping that when the cures are found for their disease or for their old age, that they'll be defrosted and healed so they can continue to live. It's going on today. People are looking for ways to extend their life. They want to live. How many of you took your vitamins this morning? Why? We want to live, don't we? How many of you eat? Why? We want to live. That's the way God made us. God designed for us to want to have life. This fourth point is one that disturbs me. I don't know if it disturbs you or not. Medical research pursues cloning practices that are problematic. Companies are proceeding full speed, funded by fortunes, attempting to find cures for diseases and extensions of human life. Well, that's honorable. But what are they doing? Some have proposed that we need to make a clone of ourselves in order to have replacement parts. Clone yourself. Make another human being and then steal from that other human being to put into your body so that you can live, but the other, well, it's just a clone, so it's okay. It's not human, it's just a clone. There's a problem with that. If they are human, then they're human. If they're mankind, then they're mankind. Do they have a soul? If they're a living being, just like you are a living being, are they a living soul? This is problematic. Others say, well, don't go through all that problem. We've got other resources. Others are taking aborted babies to harvest the various parts of these gifts of God and stealing from them to provide for themselves in their selfish attitude to try to live on. Are they succeeding? Are they still living? No, they're still dying. So there are problems with this avenue that science is now taking us down. The Bible says all of us are guilty of disobeying God, and He calls it what? Sin. And the penalty for sin, according to the Bible, is what? Death. But the free gift of God, according to the Bible, through Jesus Christ, is eternal life. But it's through Jesus. Romans chapter 3, 6:23. If you want the whole discussion, start reading the book of Romans chapter 1 and just keep reading. Paul works through this in an understandable, reasonable way to explain why we're in the situation we are and why we need a Savior. But here we see in our text, Acts chapter 15, the church has been going on for years and years and years. But all of a sudden we see something happen. Some Pharisees wanted to restore the Mosaic Law. Let's restore the Mosaic Law. You have to all follow the Mosaic Law, is what they said. The laws given to Moses at Mount Sinai had been the guidelines for the Jews for 14 centuries. That's a couple of lifetimes, isn't it? 1,400 years the Jews have been following Mosaic Law. In fact, God had demanded that the Jews carefully maintain the Mosaic Law and faithfully practice it. Failure would result in devastation, and they had been through that devastation several times. And presently they had who living in their neighborhood? The Romans. The Roman army. And they didn't like it. Well, here in the church, some Jews decided on their own to require the old ways, insisting that all people needed to practice the Mosaic Law in order to be saved. Identifying as Pharisees revealed that their hope was in practicing the law fully, completely, as their ancestors had done. Now, it does tell us that they were believers. Verse 5 tells us they were believers in Jesus Christ. But they were still trying to hang on to the old ways. The result of this is there was a great debate. Now, where does this debate first take place? It takes place in Antioch of Syria, where Paul and Barnabas are in the church. They've returned from their first missionary journey, and these Jews who still have this Pharisaic background have shown up and introduced this concept. Well, I'm glad you all became Christians, but you're not fully Christians yet because you're not following the Mosaic Law. What? That was news to them. Well, it just so happens that Paul is standing there. What was Paul's background? Paul had been trained as a Pharisee. He was going to become one of the leaders. And he, along with Barnabas, said, hold it here just a minute. What is this? And this great debate sprang up in the church over this issue. Paul, who had been trained as a Pharisee along with Barnabas, were the first to oppose this promotion of the devotion to Mosaic law. The question of salvation couldn't be solved there, and so the church at Antioch decided, you know what, we need to go back to the founders. The question of salvation was sent to the leaders in Jerusalem, where some of the apostles still resided, and as well as other first followers of Jesus Christ. Of course, that is where Jesus first preached, right? Throughout the region of Judea, the capital city was what? Jerusalem. And the church began where? Jerusalem. Most of the apostles still lived in that area. And of course, who did Jesus send out with the gospel? The apostles. Excuse me. The apostles would have firsthand knowledge of what Jesus Christ had taught. They were the first ones commissioned with the gospel. And of course, when we look at the other group, it says the elders of the church in Jerusalem. The elders of Jerusalem were some of the first followers of Jesus Christ as well. They would have firsthand knowledge of what Jesus said was necessary for salvation. They would know what to say. This rule of obeying the Mosaic law was a new requirement in the church. It had not been spoken of by any of the church messengers before. It was a surprise to Paul. It was a surprise to Barnabas, as well as the church members. Those outside of Judea, most importantly, this would be brand new news to them, being Gentiles, totally unfamiliar with the law. For somebody to come in and say, well, you need to follow the law of Moses. The law of Moses, I've never heard of it. What is it? The previous mission trips, the previous mission trip would have been useless if this teaching was true. The message of Paul and Barnabas would only be a half-truth, and a half-truth is considered to be a what? A lie. As a matter of fact, if this was true that the law had to be followed, then the message of redemption through Jesus Christ would be a lie. This is serious. All the words and the claims of Jesus would be incomplete. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong, desperately wrong, and it needed to be resolved quickly. If you try to build a building, a business, or your life, you must begin with a solid foundation that is firm, perfect, and strong. To fail in that requirement will result in weakness and eventually destruction. Is the church built on solid information that Jesus is the Savior? Or is the law that has been around for 1,400 years the foundation of our salvation? Well, at this point, temple worship is still going on. But in 70 AD, what happened? The temple was destroyed. Mosaic law ended. And what continues today? The message of Jesus Christ. The Mosaic law has been dead now for 20 centuries. They have been unable to fulfill the requirement of the law. So if the church had fallen for this new teaching, new requirement, they'd be up a creek without a paddle. They'd have no Savior because they can't practice what God had ordained. And when you look back through the Old Testament law said there is coming a Savior who will teach you what you need to do. A new way, a new covenant. The church was already living in that new covenant. They didn't need to go back to the Mosaic covenant. They were in the right covenant already. Leading us to this third point, victory over death only comes by obeying Jesus. Victory over death only comes by obeying Jesus. Mosaic law only revealed all the ways that people can disobey God. It didn't save the Jew. It just showed them how many ways they were doing it wrong. And whenever you did something wrong, what did you have to do? You had to go offer a sacrifice. Well, you can't do that anymore when the temple is destroyed. The altar is gone. Where is your hope? Every ancient culture had a system of beliefs as they pursued life. But none of those ancient religions could deliver people from death. All the people still died. Everybody. Jesus identified himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven, the only way to the Father. Was he right? We believe he's right. He proved he was right. Obeying the commands of Jesus are what saves us. Being a Buddhist, Muslim, Mormon, Catholic, or being part of a Protestant denomination, being members of this church does not save you. Jesus is our Savior. Remember that. Now, it's important that we encourage each other. The teachings of Christ are that we gather together, encourage each other, learn his teachings, and we do that through the church built upon him. But the Savior is Jesus, not the church. Keep it straight. These new believers were trying to bring back old ways and putting their salvation, their hope, their promise in the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law did not save them. Jesus saved them. Peter points out that God knows the heart of every person. It was God who poured out his Spirit on Cornelius and his family. Remember John 3, verse 16 through 18? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in, you mean it's not Mosaic law? No, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the Savior. Belief in him, obedience to him are the key. Jesus proved his authority by raising people from the dead. He did it several times. And then on top of that, what else happened? He raised himself on the third day. He conquered death and is alive today at the right hand of the Father in heaven, pleading for us. And he claimed all authority, Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 talks about everything belongs to Jesus. He's the creator of all. He came into it to become the master of it all. He's gone back to heaven, and is he still master? Yes. King of kings and Lord of lords. We are saved through the grace of Jesus, pointed out by the Apostle Peter. God's riches at Christ's expense. We don't earn our way into heaven. We can't do enough to be in heaven. It's not our church membership that gives us eternal life. It's the grace through Jesus. We don't deserve or earn our being saved from death. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, the Apostle Paul words it a little bit differently. We're saved by grace through faith. Now we are to be doing good things as a result of our salvation, but those good things don't save us. They are evidence that we are saved because God controls our hearts, our minds. We can't live good enough or be in the right family. All that we do in the name of goodness is as filthy rags before our Creator. What we dream up as a good thing, if God didn't commission it, it's worthless. If we break one law of the Mosaic law, it's the same as breaking all of it. We are guilty. We can't give or sacrifice enough because sin requires a perfect sacrifice. We who are unholy cannot restore holiness. Only the holy can restore holiness, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus was holy, perfect, righteous, and He is our Savior. He's the one who gives us life. The death of Jesus satisfied the requirement of the Mosaic Law for all humanity. So the Mosaic Law doesn't have to be practiced anymore. Jesus was the final, perfect, what? Sacrifice. That's what the law required, sacrifice. Jesus finished it. It's done. Jesus died for every sin, from Adam and Eve until the last person who will ever walk this earth. John the Baptist introduced Jesus to people as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus paid the full price for all of sin with His perfect life. The hope and trust for every person today is in Jesus Christ, not in anything else. That brings up a whole lot of other questions. Well, why do we do this? Why do we do that? If it's something Jesus teaches, we'd better be doing it. If Jesus says not to do it, we better not be doing it. But our salvation is in Jesus. The Mosaic Law does lead us to example, to lessons that we need to learn in what God expects. We do need to study the Old Testament. We need to learn from the example of others. But they don't save us. Jesus does. There's salvation only in the name of who? Jesus. Jesus requires that those who love Him must keep His commands. He stated it very clearly in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, same chapter that we learn He's the way, the truth, and the life. And as we study Scripture, we in the Christian churches, churches of Christ, have come up with kind of basically a five-finger understanding of what Jesus requires of us. We must be believers in Jesus Christ and everything He said. We need to repent or turn away from the sin that grabs us, that we get tangled up in. We need to be confessing our sin to God. If we don't admit our sin to God, we're denying that we're sinners. We need to be immersed into Christ. The term in Scripture that's been put in the Bible that messes people up is baptized. But the literal meaning is to be buried with Christ in water, to be raised again as a new creature. And then, the final one, faithfulness. Faithfulness, living the rest of our life for the Lord. If you find yourself short in any of those, admit it to God, first of all, and then come ask for some help. That's why we have elders. That's why I'm here. That's why I have other faithful believers in Christ around us. Let's make sure that we're all doing God's will, serving Jesus. Jesus saves. Not the Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys, or anybody else. Not your doctor. Not your savings plan. Not your medical collection of vitamins. Jesus saves. Remember that. Would you pray with me? Father, you're good. Help us to guard against false teachings, misdirections that people will try to pull on us, that will try to enforce human teachings, as we see in this passage. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for grace, for mercy in Him. Help us to be faithful to our Lord, to do His will, and to remind the world around us there's only one Savior, Jesus. Be with us as we go out and represent you. Help us to have the right words to say in the right time. Let your Spirit move in their heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.